We are on page 433, 434. Middle of chapter 8, right at the Acha Inyan in the big letters, and in the English is the first paragraph, however metaphorically speaking.
Yes,
thank you. The letter, this letter is a continuing in a series of charity letters asking for charity, and specifically, as it comes out, for the Holy Land, the projects that the Alter Rebbe had in the Holy Land. And it's basically, he asked a question, which he's going to answer in this, hopefully we'll get to it today, maybe not. Zareya tzedakah masmiach Yeshuas, one who plants tzedakah grows Yeshua. And he wants to know the idea of this metaphor of tzedakah and planting and harvesting. How's that working for you? So he says that generally speaking, we have an entire creation process, and the anything that we do in this world is in order to overcome the tzimtzumim, and we receive the reward for that in the world to come.
Tzimtzumim.
The contractions. Mm-hmm. Okay? And because all of those contractions, as far as Hashem is concerned, are not contractions. So he continues now. We can explain this as follows. When a person is going to plant, when you're sticking seeds into the ground, look what the result is. Even if you're talking about, you take a wheat berry, you stick a wheat berry into the ground, and what do you get? You get this massive stalk with thousands of wheat berries on it. Okay? You take a seed from, say, like one of these little pine nut things. Okay, you get these in the studies, they become very popular, people put them in salads, right? You take one of those little pine nut things, you stick it in the ground, and you get a 40-foot tree. Okay, how is it comparable one from the other? How do you get such a thing? It makes it even stronger. Because the paradigm goes, I don't know if you did this in biology way back when in like 7th grade, is we took corn, pieces of corn off the cob, and we had like two little pieces of glass, and we stuck dirt in between the pieces of glass, and we stuck the corn along the side of the glass, surrounded by dirt.
Right.
So that way we could watch the thing do its deed. Okay, do its thing. So it shot out a root, it shot out a stem. But what happened is that before, in order to facilitate that happening, the corn itself basically rots away.
Right. It becomes the food.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And specifically, you're talking about a piece of wheat. Okay, if you look at a wheat, where is the actual growth? The actual growth is from the germ.
From the germ, right.
Mm-hmm. The germ, a piece of wheat germ is a fleck.
Yes.
Just like a right there.
Yes. It's a fleck. You know, you people buy wheat germ, you know, you've been doing that since the 70s when it became popular to buy wheat germ and everyone said how healthy it was. Yeah.
So the way
this germ is nothing. What had to happen to the kernel? The kernel has to rot away, basically.
Right.
And all that's left is that little tiny bit.
Yep.
The Alter Rebbe maintains that this is one of the closest examples of a creation of something from nothing.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you can say, listen, there's a germ, and there's a whole stalk with thousands of wheat berries on it. Okay, it's not exactly, because you can say, well, this came from this, but...
Oh, I thought you would have said a mustard seed.
If you're looking, same deal. Okay, if you're looking at its source, where it came from, and what it is now, and the Alter Rebbe maintains that it's nirkav. When he says nirkav, it means the whole thing rots away.
Right.
So who knows what happens to the germ, even?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't. If you were to uproot the wheat plant, would you be able to find the germ that it started from?
No.
No, it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is it that this plant is coming from, He says his plant is actually coming from the power of growth that's in the ground. In other words, how many different types of species could you grow in dirt?
As many as there are.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so yes, so what limits what grows in the ground?
What you stick in it.
Exactly.
Climate.
So it's kind of sort of like there's a discussion, one of these philosophical discussions, is a letter on a page. What is it that makes the letter? Is it the black ink that is forming the letter? Or is it the white paper around the black ink that's forming the letter?
Yeah. The answer is yes.
Okay. So what's the deal over here is that it's, if you're going to say it's the, and the deal is actually,
I'm thinking of a third option.
It's the space around it that makes the letter. Okay. Especially in Hebrew. In Hebrew, the halacha is that a letter has to be mukaf gevil. It has to be surrounded by parchment in order for it to be a kosher letter and
a
Sefer Torah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means it's the parchment that is determining
the letter.
The letter. Yeah. What is, so now, if you have a blank piece of parchment, how many different possible letters could you write on that blank piece of parchment?
All of them.
26.
No, all of them.
That is all of them.
Okay, more. You could, but how many times could you repeat it?
Well, he didn't ask that question.
How many possible letters could be written on that piece of paper?
Whatever you want.
How many you want, okay? Yeah. So it's up to you to limit it. So what happens is that the black limits the number of white surroundings that there are.
Correct.
So the kernel limits the power of growth
to that
specific thing is that it is that is stuck to it.
Right.
Because it'd be like the same like writing an aleph on a piece of paper. This is if you plant a radish, you get a radish, not a Brussels sprout.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so this then is seeing that the power of growth that's in the ground is an expression of infiniteness. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why, you like that, that's pretty flipped out, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why in the various different Kabbalistic charts, Earth corresponds to Malchus.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
The element of dirt, earth, corresponds to Malchus. Because what's Malchus? Malchus is the creative aspect of Hashem. Everything has to get collected into Malchus. This is Kol HaNaharis Helchin El Yam. All the rivers go into the sea. So all the Hashpoah comes now into Malchus. And what does Malchus do? Malchus now takes that, all of that godliness, all of that Hashpoah, that influence that it has absorbed to that point, and then turns that into something which is usable.
Right.
And that meaning that whatever is being the creation, the creation that's going to be the result of that level of Malchus, whichever level of Malchus you happen to be talking about.
Right.
Okay. Kimahus vasmusan kilo vanikra ba'aris v'keh hatzomeh shabaris asmai hu hamaitzio megadla shabelis v'ha'ilu perizah. The actual seed rots in the ground, and the growth comes from the power of growth, in order which brings forth and causes to grow the stalk and the tree and its fruit. Because what happens? Let's say you put a seed into sand. You got the seed, and you water it religiously. You say a bracha before it and everything. What's going to happen? Nothing.
You're going to be eaten by a bug.
It's not. Nothing's going to happen. It's not going to grow anything.
It's not going to grow.
Yes, sand won't grow.
No, it's not going to grow anything.
It's not dirt.
It's not dirt.
It's glass.
Yeah.
Silver.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think what other things. What happens if you take a pile of ashes?
That might work.
You got a big pile of ashes.
That probably will work. Matter of fact, it will. There's too much lies.
Nah, not going to work.
Too much lie.
Nothing grows on ashes.
Yeah, too much lie.
Islands that are ashes, it just takes longer.
What happens with forest fires is that the trees decompose and become part of the earth.
The ashes mix with the, leach into the soil.
Correct.
The ashes leach into the soil and replenish the nutrients, but the ashes themselves
It's the soil that does it.
Too much lie. That's why, if you ever I mean, the old history is you take ashes and lard, you make lye soap. Why? Why is it? Why? What's the lye? It's the ashes. The ashes create.
I've never done that.
You've never done that?
No.
Yeah. That's a way back thing.
Yeah, you betcha. Anyway, before I doubt my grandmother ever did anything like that. Anyway,
mine did. My mother did too, for that matter.
Anyway, so the. So and if you were to take a pile of leaves and crumble them up and throw seeds into it, nah, you could wait for the leaves to decompose and turn back into dirt.
Right.
But it's the dirt. It's nothing dirt. Grows right. except right. dirt.
It's
the only medium.
Right. In about a year.
Which raises the question now, what about hydroponics? Ooh, okay. Hydroponics. And what bracha do you make on something which is grown hydroponically? Would you say a hamoitzi? Or would you say a shahakol? And the answer is...
They're like sponges.
If you know anything about hydroponics...
You have to put minerals in the water.
You've got to put a whole lot of dirt into the water, basically.
A whole lot of minerals in the water.
If you use distilled water for hydroponics, nothing will grow.
Nothing will grow. Correct.
Indeed.
So you're not growing it in water. You're growing it in dirt. It just so happens to be... Listen, what's the difference between hydroponics and a rice paddy? You know?
Not much.
Not a whole lot.
Not much.
Well, then it'd be a domino.
Although it's a very limited amount of things that will grow hydroponically.
Okay.
Naturally,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? So there's the evidence of, you know, the value of hydroponics.
I mean, aside from rice, what else grows in water? Cranberries.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so...
So mix your cranberries with rice and have a good time.
There you go. Okay. Raksha'ena maitzio megala kecha lechutz mekech alapoyel kimal yedei hazerva hagrain shenikam ha'aretz v'kila kekachosim kech hatzeret. But what? So you have the power of growth to produce trees in the soil. But you need the limitation of the seed to direct the specific power of growth to produce a specific organism.
Right.
It's the seed that has the limiting factor, that possesses the limiting factor.
Correct.
Because potentials are unusable.
The limiting factor is the source
the key.
Of life.
The key in this point.
It absolutely is. That's exactly right.
Okay?
That's exactly right.
Okay, if you have no limitations, it's not functionable.
You get nothing.
Exactly. Okay, well, if you had to think one thought and suddenly inundated with say 10 thoughts.
Right.
And the 10 thoughts are causing all this noise in your head as you're trying to think the one thought.
You got nothing.
You wouldn't be able to think a thing.
You got nothing.
Okay. So, you got this. You have this very fertile soil.
Right.
And you've got nothing, and it's really the best stuff possible for growing. It's not going to do a thing until it's got the limitation to hold the power of growth in a usable method.
Right. The beauty of Gevurah.
Yeah. Because what it does is it limits the koyach of the power of growth that's in the land. The power of growth unites with the seed.
Yeah.
They become one single entity, because now what you have is, in this instance, you could say that the power of growth is like the ur, and the seed is like the keli. Because how have we been defining keli from the very first time that the word keli came up?
Limitation.
It's not a vessel. It's not pots and pans.
No.
It's something which makes it usable.
Structure. Right.
It gives definition to this amorphous energy.
Right.
Amorphic energy. That's what the seed has to do. So what has to happen is you can't have, if you just have a seed in the air, it's not going to grow anything.
Right.
You can stand there, you can hold it from today until who knows when. It's never going to grow. You could have dirt sitting in a bowl, and it's going to sit there, and it'll be dirt forever.
Right.
Nothing is going to grow until you unite the seed with the ground.
Right.
When you unite the seed with the earth, so the power of the earth, which is possesses this infinite potential, is limited to that specific seed. That specific seed directs the power of growth to affect it, the seed, so that you can have a final result, the plant. And by sticking the seed in the ground, that you bring out the power of growth from the potential to the actual. Mm-hmm. They now have an influence of life. The gadol shibaylis and the ke'en hazera, and you grow a stalk. And if you happen to plant a wheat seed, what kind of stalk are you going to wind up with?
Wheat.
A wheat stalk.
Yeah.
Because that's going to. That's what the seed does, is limit it to specifically that way. But it, you can see there's a real great accomplishment with the growth. Shibolus achas, because you have now, you have one wheat stalk. How high does wheat grow? About 6 feet high? Okay, a little fleck. You get this plant that's 6 feet high with so many wheat berries in it.
Corn too. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Sunflower seeds are there.
Indeed.
They're 8 feet.
Hops. 18 feet high from a little hop seed.
I've never seen that.
You know how big a hop seed is? A hop seed's the size of a peppercorn.
Right.
Hops are 18 feet?
18 feet high. You can watch a hop plant grow.
Wow.
Yep.
Listen to it.
And it grows out of something the size of a peppercorn.
If you go through the Midwest in the late fall.
King Harbit Paris ala Elan Achad, and how many pieces of fruit do you get from one tree coming from one seed to make that tree? The gam mahusan vas musan shalapeiras ma'ula bi'ila rava asam lamaila ma'ula mahusan vas musan shalagaran hanatuya kula. And if you look at the qualitative difference, that's quantitative difference. Qualitative difference, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever sat down to a nice, enjoyable snack of apple seeds? Not exactly.
Yeah.
Okay? The taste of an apple seed compared to an apple.
It's actually dangerous.
Yeah.
It's
poison in it, arsenic in it, the whole business,
yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay? You don't want to be eating apple seeds, but apples? Yum.
Yep.
It's time to get some cherries.
So qualitatively, there's a tremendous improvement from the seed to the fruit.
Sure.
The king b'kiyai gavna b'peiris ha'aretz ha'gedoylim mizroinim ke'ena ha'geranim. And so too it is also with all the fruits of the vegetables of the land, that they grow. You plant a tomato, you get a tomato. K'may k'shuyim ha'kiyai gavnim, like pumpkins, pumpkins or cucumbers, one of those things. That you plant a pumpkin seed, you get a pumpkin. You plant a cucumber seed, you get a cucumber. V'ha'kil hu mivnei she'ikr V'shoros chayis ha'peiros nishpa mekeach ha'tzermeach sheba'aretz ha'kol chayis kol ha'peiros. And the reason why it's able to be that way is because the power of growth that is in the dirt can relate to the specific seed,
right,
and affect it to be able to grow. Talks about Solomon, Shlomo Melech. And many people after, there's a whole tribe. I don't think there were Jews. I think there were Druids or Bedouins or somebody like that. That they could taste the soil and tell you what to plant there.
Mm.
What to plant in that crop. What to plant in that dirt.
That's
what that dirt would be good for.
Right.
And you know, for example, lettuce grows better in sandy soil. Tomatoes grow better in clumps. And strawberries need a different soil than raspberries. And herbs need different soil than one from the other. And what are you going to do? You planted your jalapenos in the wrong place and they came out sweet. Nebuch, you know, so. It all has to do with what kind of dirt you're putting in there.
That's true.
Okay. So what is the seed? If you're going to put it now, He's like segueing into that which we're trying to exemplify. Okay. Putting the seed in the ground. The seed is the Isarusa Dilatata. It's the arousal from below.
Yeah.
The power of growth is the arousal from above. Nothing is going to grow until you put the seed in the ground. Meaning, the power of growth is not going to be affected. It'll sit there forever. Okay, and it'll get better and better. If you have earth that doesn't get planted, it becomes more and more fertile. So, which means the power of growth intensifies. It's not used until you put the seed in. The seed is what gets the whole thing going.
Right.
That's the arousal from below in the paradigm of the Kabbalah. That an arousal from below causes an arousal from above. As he calls it also here, the Mayim Nukvim, the feminine waters, arouse the masculine waters.
Mm.
Okay, same deal, that when we get excited, it gets Hashem excited. And that's what he's going to say right now. So too it is now. Kol Maisa had Tzedaka She'oisin Yisrael Ve'oilu L'mayla Ve'v'pinis Allah's Man Rasharshnus Mashtehan L'mayla Hanikra B'Shem Knesset Yisrael Ve'ema Tata V'loshna Zer. When a person gives tzedakah, you might think you're only giving a quarter, big deal. But the putting the quarter into the charity box, into the pushka, is the same as putting the seed into the ground. It's only just a seed, but look at the result. The result is incomparable to the act. So say to also with the maisa of tzedakah, the maisa of giving charity. It may seem as an insignificant thing. Okay, it could be that a person only gives a quarter, or a person does a one-time deal, $100,000. To Hashem, a quarter, $100,000, doesn't make any difference. The guy getting it, okay, there's a big difference. Okay, but to Hashem, it's the seed. Does it matter to the dirt if you stick a wheat germ into the seed, or you stick a pine nut into the seed? Dirt doesn't care.
Right. What's the difference between planting a Brazil nut and a mustard seed?
Yeah, really.
It's sunny.
it doesn't make any...
Brazil nuts need certain soil, too.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, but I understand.
The point is, Brazil nut's huge.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Okay.
So it's still the one seed.
Yeah.
So it's 100,000 or a quarter.
Right. So the number doesn't matter.
Right.
That's what everybody used to always emphasize. Okay. Give the $100,000, that's very good. But even the businessman who's giving $100,000 tzedakah should have a pushka on his desk.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, throw a quarter into it.
Right.
Because, the act of tzedakah, that's the planting. That's what causes the sprouting.
Yeah.
That which causes the direction of godliness to produce tremendous fruit. Okay, so there he says that causes an aliyah lamaila of the soul going back to the source of the soul, higher and higher to its very source, which is called the congregation of Israel. It's called the lower of mother, v'shchina b'lashon gemara, and the gemara is called the divine presence. Hakalul mekol midos of shel hakadosh baruch hu. It's malchus according to Kabbalah, and malchus includes in it all the attributes of Hashem. Because how do you get Malchus? We know, there's something called Binyan HaMalchus.
Right.
It's talked about in the Rosh Hashanah Maimorim. Mm-hmm. That blowing the shofar causes Binyan HaMalchus, the building of Malchus.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is Malchus made of? Malchus, it says, Leis Lei Megarme Klum. Malchus has nothing of its own.
That's right.
Okay, Chachma is Chachma. It's a flash. And then we have 10 spheres of Chochmah. Which, what are the 10 spheres of Chochmah for? How to present and express this flash. Bina is a development of the flash. So you have the sphere Bina Shiba Bina, but then you have the other 10 spheres, the other 9 spheres. What are they for? How is this development going to present itself? What's Malchus? Malchus, the whole purpose of Malchus is presentation. How is it going to present itself? It doesn't have any function of its own.
Right.
Okay, leis leimei garmei klum, it has nothing of its own. So what is Malchus made out of? Well, it has 10 spheres. Malchus of Chachma becomes Chachma of Malchus.
Yeah.
And Malchus of Bina becomes Bina of Malchus. And Yisoid, Malchus of Yisoid becomes Yisoid of Malchus. So then what happens after all that? After all that's been put into place, so it all comes down, and then they all together formulate Malchus of Malchus. Because what's Malchus of Malchus? Malchus of Malchus is I'm taking all of these previous 9 spheres, and I'm making them presentable to the next level. So Malchus isn't doing its own thing. All Malchus is there for is to present what's been given to it. Question?
Could you equate Malchus almost to energy?
No. Malchus is a presentation. The Chayas is the energy. That which is being conveyed is the energy.
Uh-huh.
Malchus is directing that energy.
Okay. All right. You want to call? Okay. All right. I get it.
Okay. So he says all these different things.
You want to go the other way with it. Okay.
Yeah, all these different things that you call with it. So,
right.
So, so it's inclusive of all the attributes of Hashem.
Okay.
Umiyuchedis bahen betachlis, and is united with them in an ultimate unity. That in Malchus, why is Hashem doing all this? Why are there 10 spheroids? In order to make something? Hashem did not create spheroids for the purpose of spheroids.
The teachers.
Yeah, okay. So we can talk about it. That's what it says in the Gemara, in the Zohar. Hashem didn't need 10 spheroids.
No.
But why did Hashem make 10 spheroids? In order that something could be made?
Something related.
Hashem did not make 10 spheroids for 10 spheroids. The spheres are not the end, the spheres are the means to the end.
Right, correct. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the end? The end is the final result, the creation.
The connection.
And the first of these attributes that we want to consider over here is Hashem's attribute of kindness.
Uh-huh.
Because what was the impetus in the creation?
Chesed.
It says chesed, what's the expression? Chesed, Eilam b'chesed yibane. Right. The world is built on kindness.
Yes.
Shem didn't need to do it.
No.
Shem wasn't missing anything. Shem wasn't bored and said, I'm getting kind of bored. Maybe I'll make something.
Yeah.
Or, I'm getting kind of lonely over here.
Ugh.
I think I'm going to make something. Keep me company.
That's a hideous thing.
Okay? Or, I feel like playing with something right now. Let me make a creation. Okay? No. None of those.
No.
The world is an expression of Hashem's kindness. And what the world does is it's the recipient of Hashem's kindness. Hashem's kindness, okay, Hashem could have kindness without doing anything with it. He doesn't need to do anything with it. Okay, unlike us, how do we know somebody's kind?
We receive the benefit.
Yeah,
we either receive or observe.
He does something kind.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
How do we know that Hashem is kind? Does he have to do anything? No.
No.
There's a sphere of kindness here. That's how we know that Hashem is kind.
Right.
There's kindness there. But the nature of kindness is to do kindness.
Is to be kind.
So as an expression of Hashem's kindness, voila,
here we are. Here we are.
And through our initiation, we arouse, we affect Hashem's kindness. Because what is tzedakah? Tzedakah is compassion, it's kindness. So the expression is used. We had it already at the end of chapter 2 of the Geras HaKodesh. That the face that you show in the mirror is the one that you see back.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. So if you are acting in a kind way, so what is Hashem going to do? Hashem is going to mirror kindness. Hashem will act kind to you.
Lead you in the way you want to go.
Shehu gili ari yizbarach liyari lahar lamati l'neshamas yisrael b'vachinus gili rava atzim b'shatzat tefillah al-kopanim. And this causes then to be this great and awesome revelation of godliness to descend and to illuminate down here to the neshamas of the Jews in a revealed and awesome way, at least during the times of davening. Because when is it that we talked about the best time to give tzedakah is right before davening? Yeah. So what happens now? A person gives tzedakah right before davening is the he attaches, he facilitates there to be an expression of divine kindness. And where is that divine kindness going to express itself? In his davening. So that he'll feel like he's davening. Uh-huh. All that for a quarter. Even though we say that to his greatness you can't find you can find no end, right. And everything before Hashem is considered like nothing, and big deal, you put a quarter in the pushka.
Even so.
Okay, so what? Welcome to Ata Meitza God Lusay Sham Ata Meitza on Venusa Kamayim Shiyardim. And in a place that you're recognizing Hashem's greatness there, you'll find Hashem's humility, and it's like water that's falling down, the place where the water on the top is the same water as the bottom, it's just that it's a lot less. The water that you, when you're in Buffalo and you open up the tap, that water came from the top of Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
What happens if you try and stick a cup into Niagara Falls? You're not going to get a glass of water out of the deal.
Not exactly.
Okay? So it comes down, when it kind of comes down, it's the same water, but... So this is what we're saying is now the person who is giving this amount of tzedakah, what is he causing to happen? He's getting Niagara Falls in his cup. It's coming down, he's drawing down the godliness, he's the benefactor of the godliness, right. He's directing the godliness, he's having all good things from his godliness. V'zeshekos of zarach b'choyshech or liyashorim chanen v'racham v'tzadik. This is what it says in the verse. That where is it? He plants in the darkness the light to he plants in the darkness. What's in the darkness? The light to the righteous, gracious and compassionate and righteous. Al yedei sha'adam chanan v'rachum v'tzadik tikkeis oyev v'gorim lo arashem sheyizrach l'nishmasay. If a person acts righteous and compassionate and gracious. So this causes the light of Hashem to come down to his soul, Hamalubeshes the Gufay, which is his soul, which is in his body. He will experience physical benefit from these acts. Ha'aymed b'chayshek, that the body is darkness. The neshama is obscured by the body. Would you like to help your neshama out a little bit? Give charity, the best way. Mm-hmm. Because why not some other mitzvah? We talked before, when you're doing tzedakah, you're giving tzedakah with your whole essence.
With your body.
Because your whole body had to go to work to make that money.
Correct.
For you to be able to give this portion of it to tzedakah.
Right.
It's not the taich that you're giving away 25 cents to charity. You're giving away how much of yourself you had to give up in order to make that 25 cents.
Right.
And that then becomes the conduit for godliness to come down in a very focused, very usable way. It's the black ink surrounded by the white parchment. Mm. So the body is standing in darkness, it's obscuring the soul, kahu mishachid dechavya, it's the snake skin, which is what the body is, you know, the snake skin he's talking about, not the snake as it's on the skin as it's on the snake, it's as it's crawled out of it already.
Right.
It's a lifeless thing, it's nothing. It's makamatuma and klippa, you know, it's the grandfather of all impurities is a human body. And it's enlivened by this pristine light of godliness. And the soul feels it. It feels, I got to get out of here. This is it. Who put me in this rotten place over here? So when the person now allows himself and cuts himself some slack and does mitzvahs, so the neshama goes, okay, I can put up with this. And specifically now when a person gives tzedakah, V'zeo nikra b'shem Yeshua. This is called salvation. He's going back to the beginning of the letter that says, Zeroya tzedakah matmiach Yeshua's. You plant tzedakah, you reap, or what will grow is salvation. So what salvation are we talking about? We're talking about how your soul is going to be able to now survive. So you might think that the pasuk means that if you give tzedakah, Mashiach is going to come because he's going to plant tzedakah and he's going to grow. Salvation, and we say salvation, what do we think? We think about Mashiach. So I've got news for you. It's true. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
Because what? Salvation is based on how much the world needs to be saved.
Right.
And if this person has saved himself and the other person has saved themselves, so it's all accumulating and it's adding up.
Right.
And the eventuality of all of this Yeshua is the ultimate Yeshua, the coming of the Mashiach. Sheyeshua zu tzemachas mazriya hatzedakah. That this salvation grows from his planting of the charity. Shezirin ba'aretz halyayna eretz hafetz hu ashkina kenesis Yisrael. That he planted this tzedakah. Okay, he can put the tzedakah in a pushka, in a charity box. He gave it away to a poor person who bought food and ate it. So you could say that that's where the object of his tzedakah is, righteousness is going. And that's where the godliness is going. But he says even more than that. The Shekhinah is also in Golis. We drag the Divine Presence down with us. And when a person gives tzedakah, for example, so that makes the situation for the Shekhinah that much easier,
right,
because you're giving it little energy light pods,
right,
to illuminate the Divine Presence. And enough of those light pods get together, and guess what? So the Shekhinah kicks in, comes down here. We have Mashiach come, and we live happily ever after, and it should be really simple.
Amen.
Why is it that we call the lower mother, Adnai, Malchus, Shekhinah? The word Shekhinah means to rest, to dwell, to live, to be settled. Mm-hmm. That's what the word Shekhinah means. Okay, so you're affecting specifically that attribute of Hashem. Which one? The Divine Presence, the one that's resting
that
down
should,
here.
That should, yeah.
Because what you're doing is you're allowing the Divine Presence greater access and ease of presentation.
Yes.
The Alter Rebbe, in the first Maimer that he gave in 1951 in Bas Lugani, talks about different levels of Shekhinah. Based on the idea, Kadeskafia, Sitra, Achra, Istalik, Yikorda, Kuchibirchu, Vakule, Alma, which is going to mention a little bit of that soon, that when a person controls themselves, it elevates the glory of God throughout all worlds. All a person has to say is, no, thank you, I don't need that. And God says, yes, it was worth making an entire creation for that. So when a person controls himself, because with that quarter, okay, nowadays what could you buy with a quarter already? But with those, that pile of quarters that's sitting in that box, you could buy something really delicious or really nifty. I haven't used that word like in 50 years. And you decided instead, I'm giving it away. So that then, Hashem says, wow, it doesn't get any better than this. This creation stuff's not so terrible. As it says, your kingdom is the kingdom of all worlds. What's the kingdom of all worlds? Well, you have Malchus of Atzilus, Malchus of Briam, but where's the real kingdom? Is right here, this physical world. This is the kingdom of all kingdoms. Because what are those kingdoms all for? Us to get here. Ubeprat mina prat, and specifically, kishizroin be'eres ha-kodesh ha-tachtena. That when you give tzedakah specifically for the Holy Land, the physical, terrestrial Holy Land, we're not talking about theory over here, we're not talking spiritual, we're talking about people who need food. Hamokuvanis kenegdo mamish, which corresponding to the Holy Land is the divine presence. That's why it says, in the portion of Akiv, Mereshis Hashana Ad Achrios, so that it's the eyes of God are upon the land of Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Okay? Because this is where Hashem's Malchus is most present. That all those acts of charity become gathered and presented immediately in the higher realms, without any obstacle in this world whatsoever. Because nothing gets away between Eretz HaKodesh and God. You want to facilitate it, that the godliness comes down, you could do that. Because as Yaakov decreed, this is the gateway to heaven. Which is not the case outside Israel. Giving tzedakah, it says, irecha kadma. If you have a limited charity funds, and there's always more people to receive your funds than how much you're going to give, so there's a pecking order.
Yeah.
Okay? Your family becomes before anybody else.
Right.
If you have people in your family that are starving, you have a tzedakah, you have a righteousness, yet you have to maintain them. Okay, then it says, the poor people in your city come before anybody else. Then, aniye eretz hakodesh. Then, the poor people in Israel. Okay, so if you have a choice, where are you going to give your funds? So Israel's like way up there, halachically.
Right.
Okay, because it is the gateway to Hashem.
Right.
It is the Holy Land. The land of Israel is holy. The air in Israel is holy. Okay, which means, what does holy mean? That it conveys godliness. Okay, that will do as we finish chapter 8. We'll take up chapter 9 next time, to be continued.